Begin. Okay, so today we will talk about the mitzvah and hopefully the message behind supplying the oil for the menorah. And now this is really, it's like I call this the mitzvah to supply oil for the menorah in the store of our lives, because I think that this mitzvah that we find the very beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh is very important. It's very critical. For I think it provides a very important message for us, and as we go through life and as we try to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. So I'm just gonna mute people. Unmute yourself when you have a comment. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to look at the opening of Parshas Tetzaveh, and I want to compare it or contrast it with the opening of Parshas Terumah. Right, the opening, right, Parshas Terumah is about Hashem commanding Moshe about all the different building materials for the Mishkan. And then Parshas Tetzaveh is about the Begadim, about the clothing, and about the Avodah, preparing for the Avodah in the Mishkan. So we begin, and if you look in the If you look in, let's say, Vatat Tetzaveh Bnei Yisrael, how's Tetzaveh open? Vatat Tetzaveh Bnei Yisrael, V'ichu Elecha Shemen Zayizach, Kasis La'Maor, La'alos Ner Tamim. And so Hashem turns to Moshe and he says, and you will command Bnei Yisrael, they should take for you olive oil that's crushed to illuminate, to use for a Ner Tamid, a constant light. Bo'omoid, B'chutz La'Paruch, Sher Al-Hoidus, Yeruch HaSar'on, Yevodav, Me'er Vad Boker, Ethnei Hashem, Chukas Lama Dorosei Chameish Bnei Yisrael. So this will be done in the Ohel Moed, outside the Paroches, right, that Aaron will arrange the lights from evening till the morning. Okay, so the menorah is going to be, obviously, in the Kodesh, in the Mishkan Eir, but not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Bnei Yisrael are going to provide the olive oil. Now, if you compare how Hashem commands Moshe in the beginning of Parshat Tetzaveh, it's a little bit different than how he commands them in Parshas Terumah. In Parshas Terumah it says, "By the Hashem of Moshe Lemor," Hashem speaks to Moshe, "the Bar B'nai Yisrael, speak to B'nai Yisrael, v'yichu li truma, take from me a truma, me'ez kol asher yidveni libo, tichlutz morsi, from every person whose heart carries him, that his heart lifts him, anyone who wants to donate, from anyone who wants to donate to the Mishkan." Say, take my donation. So, if you were to compare or contrast the introduction, the commandment for, let's say, the oil specifically, and for the general donations, Parshas Terumah, what are some differences in the text or the way it's commanded? What are some differences? I'm sorry? Right, okay, so right. So one day. Right, so one of them, right, for the oil, it's v'yichu elecha, they should take to you, Moshe, Shemen Zayitzach, as opposed to v'yichu li truma. That's one difference. What else?
This says that Tzaveh, the other one doesn't.
Right. In other words, in Parshas Terumah, it's daber el bnei Yisrael, and now when it comes to the oil, you got to command them to Tzaveh. Okay, anything else? I mean, those are the major differences. I have basically six questions I want to ask. So those are two of them. I have two other linguistic differences. This is ve'ata tetzaveh. It could have just said v'tzaveh. It's ve'ata, and you command, as opposed to v'tzaveh, I think, which means the same thing, maybe. Also, a fourth difference is that in Parshas Terumah, who makes a donation? Kol ish asher yidveni libo, anyone who wants, as opposed to in Parshas Tetzaveh, it seems that they all have to do this. It seems to be mandatory for everyone. So I found these are four interesting differences when it comes to Parshas Tetzaveh. When it comes to, I'm sorry, when it comes to the commandment for the oil, it's you command v'yichu elecha to you Moshe, not as opposed to v'yichu li. And there's no kol ish asher yidveni libo. There's no option. It seems mandatory. And I find that there are two other interesting aspects about this command. Number one is that it's recorded here. In other words, it's like at this spot, it seems a little strange. It's in beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. Why is it not Parshas Truma? Why is it not, in the beginning in Truma, it says, Shemen Lamaor, Bisavim Lashemen Hamishcha. There is, Hashem tells about donation of Shemen Lamaor, but somehow we're waiting to the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, right here specifically, Bnei Yisrael command with the oil. I wonder why this specific location here, maybe it should be recorded at a later point in time. And also, there is a mention about Aaron and his kids are going to be lighting it, right? In other words, Bnei Yisrael supply the oil, and Aaron and his children do the lighting. But, for example, in Parshas Baaloscha, right? How does Parshas Baaloscha start? Baaloscha, Seneros, Amul, Pnei HaMenorah, Yerushev, Shivas, HaNeros. That in Parshas Baaloscha, we find the commandment for Aaron and his children to light the menorah. And yet here it's more of like they're sort of in the background. So I guess I'm wondering why the Torah commands the mitzvah to supply the oil by the Bnei Yisrael specifically here, and the commandment regarding lighting the menorah by Aaron and his children, it's not really here. It's more of in the background. In other words, this seems to be a commandment for the Bnei Yisrael. Once we mention commandment to Bnei Yisrael, we mention Aaron Ubanov. It's not like in Parshas, it's not like in Parshas Behaloscha, which is Behaloscha, Hashem speaks to Moshe, to Aaron, tells Aaron, Behaloscha Saneros, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, like he's telling him directly about lighting the menorah. So those are the six things that I find are unusual when it comes to the obligation to supply the oil. So let's try to pick apart these things, and we can maybe address each one separately. But I would like to argue that all these six unique features about this commandment point in one specific direction. So let's begin. The Rashbam looks at in the beginning of this parsha, and he's aware of some of these differences. The Rashbam says, "Va'ata tetzaveh lemala hu omer." Above it says, "Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yichu li truba lefi sha'al letzorach hamishkan." The Rashbam points out that the commandments for parshas, for the donations in parshas truma, were lefi sha'a, was a, these donations were, well, there was a one-time appeal, the materials to build the Mishkan. Avalkan shetzivoy zeh l'chol hadoros l'asei shemen l'maor l'chol shana v'shana l'kachu omer ve'ata titzaveh. So the Rashbam says that the formulation of titzaveh is l'doros. Shina l'oshon l'fi shekol l'oshon tzava l'dorosi. That whenever it says tzava, command, that's for generations. The phrase daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'yichuli truma, speak to b'nei Yisrael, that is not necessarily always l'doros, for generations. The lashon of titzaveh, tzivui, he cites here the sifri, lashon tzivui, eda ela miyad u'l'doros. Lashon of tzivui is for generations. So as opposed to the commandments in Parshas Truma, which was a one-time command, this was for all generations. And it's not just when there was a Beis HaMikdash or Mishkan. There's a Midrash HaGadol which says, Afa pi shecharav HaMikdash ubitlu haneros, even though the Mikdash was destroyed and there was no menorah anymore, Hare bate kinesios bate midrash shemalika bahem peinikra mikdash ma'at. This mitzvah that the Bnei Yisrael supplied the oil survives the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, survives the disappearance of the menorah in the Mishkan and in the Mikdash, because even when we provide lights for the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash, this is in some way, according to the Medrash HaGadol, a fulfillment of supplying oil. So this is a long-term This is a mitzvah for all times to supply the oil, even surviving the Beis Hamikdash. So that's one important point regarding this commandment. And the second one is how personalized it has to be. It's all about Moshe commanding Bnei Yisrael. Look what the Sephardo writes. V'ata titzaveh, and you command. Hinei ma'asha amar arat arachsha v'asisa. Yuvan shi'aseh ayde'acher. When it comes to, let's say, building the shulchan, Hashem said, and you make the shulchan. Meaning, you should. It should be done by someone else. V'zeh shi'etzav l'umanim shi'asu. So Hashem tells Moshe, build the shulchan. It means you tell other people they're going to do it. Lefichach be'elu ha'shalosh mitzvah shetziva heda amar ve'ata. But the three mitzvahs they mentioned here, the first being the command regarding the oil, it says ve'ata lodia sheyasehu ba'atzbo. That Moshe has to do it himself. Sheyetzava li'Yisrael ha'yotziyas Hashem. Moshe has to command Klal Yisrael on making the oil. V'sheyakriv elav es arod ubanav. And that he should bring close to him Aaron and his children, speak to all the wise men about that. That's not our topic, but the point being is that this is personal. This is a personal mitzvah that Moshe specifically has to do. It's not simply that Moshe makes sure that this kli of the Mikdash gets built. No, v'atatetzaveh, you Moshe, you have to make sure that you personally, you shouldn't tell someone else to tell the workers to do this. You have to tell Bnei Yisrael to supply the oil. You have to command them all together. And again, the Sifra says, that's why it says, V'yichu Elecha, as opposed to V'yichu Li, that Atah Gizbor LeDavar, Moshe, you have to collect all the oil. You can't pass this job off to someone else. You have to do it yourself. And that's the formulation of V'yichu Elecha. Okay, so far what we've seen, interim summary, that the mitzvah of supplying the oil is a mitzvah lidoros, for all generations, and it's a mitzvah that Moshe specifically had to command. And the question is why? Why was it important that Moshe command this mitzvah of the oil for all generations, specifically right now? So there's a Me'am Loes, which I didn't bring down the source here, but the Me'am Loes points out that in order to produce clear lights, lahalos ner tamid, what do you need? You need the oil, you need it, what? You need, let's see, we read the psukim again. It says, Shemen zayzach kasis lama'or. So you need to take an olive and you need to crush it. The olives, as it were, must be willing to suffer. And the Me'am Loes writes that the Bnei Yisrael must be willing to undergo adversity with undimmed joyfulness so that we can keep God's light of Torah constantly burning. Okay? And so why is it specifically Moshe Rabbeinu that has to command them? Because who better than Moshe to send this message to Klal Yisrael? This is Moshe's life, was a life where he was lived full of adversity. Right? He's born and he's thrown into the Nile River. He's, according to the Medrash, he burns his tongue when he's a baby. He's forced to grow up not with his biological mother. When he's a young man, he's forced to flee from Egypt. And when he comes back and he leads the people, they complain to him nonstop. Moshe had a life that was full of adversity, crushed, as it were, full of adversity, and yet he accepted it, and he leads the Bnei Yisrael with dignity to produce pure light. In other words, at this point in Parshas Tetzaveh, following Parshas Truma, the Parsha where we built the whole structure. We built God's home. And now what do we need to do? Now we need to prepare to do the Avoda, and the Avoda, the daily sacrifice or the ritual that we do to bring God into our midst, Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael that if you want me to come into your midst, you need to supply the oil. You want to do the right avoda. You know what the right avoda is? The right avoda is living a life of adversity with undimmed joy, joyfulness, and that's how you can produce the purest light of Torah. That's how you can produce the purest light of letting me into your lives. And that's why this is commanded specifically at this point. You know, the Nesiv El Shalom writes the following, that he points out, where you see the pasuk, it says, Yaroch oso Aaron ubarav me'erav ad boker. That Aaron and his children should light the menorah from evening until morning, even during dark times. Even in times of adversity, we have to light the menorah. That's what the menorah is all about, producing a light in the darkest times, in times of adversity, when it's kasis lamaor. Now, this is what the message of Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, to be the personal example, to share with Klal Yisrael, that after we build this structure called the Mishkan, before we are ready to welcome a Kadosh Baruch Hu into our midst through serving him in the Mishkan, we supply the oil, which is a commitment to remain faithful despite the adversity. It's not a din in the Kohanim. It's not about the Kohanim doing the Avoda. It's about us, Klal Yisrael, creating the conditions to bring our Kadosh Baruch Hu into our midst. And that's why this is really all about the Bnei Yisrael providing the oil. Now the Hamid...
Could be also,
I think that's true as well, yes. The Netziv in the Hamek Davar, so he points out in Elaha Inyan, he says this also in Perichot, he says in Perichot Zayin Pasuk Chav, Elaha Inyan Becholzeh, what's this whole idea about the menorah, about the kli called the menorah? It says, the Yesh Ladas, you need to know, De'or HaTorah Shehu Tachlis HaMishkan Ve'ikar HaMashre Shechina B'Yisrael, the light of Torah, which is the purpose of the Mishkan, and the main thing that causes the dwelling of the Shechina in Yisrael, among Klal Yisrael, Ba B'Shefa, comes with a full, with a abundance, Ayidei Emtzaut Shnei Klei HaKodesh. You want to know how the Shechina comes down? What's the medium through which the Shechina descends to Klal Yisrael? Through two kelim. Hainu, Ha'aron Va'Menorah. The Aaron and the Menorah. These are two kelim through which God's light descends to Klal Yisrael. So on the surface, it seems that it's the Aaron, because the Torah says, we mentioned this last week, V'dibar Tichal Be'al Kapor, Hashem speaks to Moshe on top of the Aaron. But the Netziv says the menorah is also necessary through which God's Shekhinah descends. But he writes, V'nishtanu pulo sehem. They have different jobs. Ha'aron ba liyud hadibro shebichsav. V'gam letzivoy. Okay, so he says that the Aaron comes for the Dibros Shebichsav, right? That's the Torah Shebichsav, the written Dibros. The Gavlet Tzivoy B'Kabbalah Baal Peh. And also, the function of the Aaron is also to, it houses the Dibros, but also to any commandments that Hashem tells Moshe Baal Peh. In other words, Moshe comes to the Aaron, and Hashem speaks to him, right? From the top of the Aaron. V'lozeh HaKoach. Okay, so that is one kli. That is one shefa, one divine flow, that the flow of God's divinity comes down. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us, or through the Luchos, which is in the Aaron, and also through Hashem speaking to Moshe. But, V'lazeh koach haniflah shenikra Talmud, nikra koach haminorah. But the power, the wondrous power called Talmud, which is in-depth study, through this is the power of the menorah, asher nichlal bo sheva chachamos, that included in it are seven types of wisdom, v'kol kochos hanidrash lepilpula shel Torah, and all different powers that are expounded through the study of Torah. In other words, there is the power, the menorah is through the Talmud, is through study. That's the power of the menorah. V'al kein b'bayis sheni, and therefore in this time of the second Beis Hamikdash, sheravu yeshivos, that there are many yeshivos, v'emidu talmidim harbe lavos d'bay v'rava, and they had many students that would engage in discussions that would later be called discussion of b'bay v'rava. Obviously they lived much later, but it was in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, yeshivos flourished, there are many Torah scholars, and that's shehu haTalmud, mishum hachi, nischazek koach haMenorah al yedei nes dechanuka. Because of this engagement in Torah, of where we created Torah, chiddush, right? Chiddush, newness. We created the Torah, Torah shebaal peh, not simply God speaking to us and us receiving it as being passive. This, the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, that's a time of active Torah, and that's why the story of Hanukkah happened during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, because the power of the menorah is the power of Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, according to the Netziv, the menorah represents chiddush. The menorah represents novel ideas that we create. Through struggling with adversity, we can emerge with new untapped strengths, talents, and resources. And that's the message Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving to us when he tells us about supplying the oil for the menorah. If we're willing to go through the adversity and the struggle and the challenge of the menorah, that's how we achieve chiddush. It's life, right? When do we find what we're really made of? How we respond to adversity. And that's kasis labaor, that's the menorah, that's the chiddush, the newness, the new strengths that come through specifically the menorah. I want to make one final point. The Rashi says, on the same lines, Rashi says, when it says kasis lamaor, velo kasis lamenachos, he says that when it says crushed for light to illuminate, and not crushed for menachos. So menachos literally means that we're not using the oil for olive oil for a sacrifice, for a mincha. So Rabbi Twersky, he said that some Hasidic rabbis explained menachos means to lay down low, from the word manach. And he said the following, that Chazal are telling us that the oil that we produce is crushed for illumination and not for being low. And what he says is that our humility, being crushed, the oil, the olives, you take the olives and you crush it, so that being crushed, feeling a sense of humility, should not deter us from doing more. It should be kasis lamenachos, that we feel crushed, that we feel so humble that we want to lay low, we don't want to do anymore. No. Kasis lamaor, that when we are humble, what does it mean we're humble? We're saying, I could be doing so much more. I've done so little, I could do so much more. I'm aware of my strengths and my capabilities, that I could do even more. So we use our humility to tell us that we haven't even reached our potential. And we use our humility to say everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done so little, and we use it not to paralyze us to do even greater things. And I want to sort of turn that around a little bit. What I've been arguing is that the message of Kasis Lamaor is a message of through the adversity we illuminate. Sometimes adversity can shut us down, can sometimes paralyze us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe, you're the best example to tell Klal Yisrael that if you push yourself through adversity, you can achieve untapped strengths. That's why, by the way, this is not Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo. This is not optional. Every member of Klal Yisrael must supply the oil. Whatever that means in practice, but in theory it means that everyone, member of Klal Yisrael, must absorb the message of Kasis Lamaor, of adversity, crushing yourself, and at times using that, accepting it to become great, La'alos ner tamid, not to paralyze you, but to lead you to even greater strength. And Moshe, you're the best role model for this wonderful message. Okay, any thoughts?
On the tefillin of the head, there's a three shin and a four shin.
Right.
And that's the seven.